in the second pshat, Dovah Rachel, the second pshat in Rashi Pasuk Lamedches, Asher Otzeis Yeschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Al Menashe Tekablu Aleichem Mitzvosai. This is one of the mitzvahs. Again, but Rashi doesn't clarify, so why this particular one, the Ribbis, is considered the main mitzvah? Why is it mentioned together with the Yitzias Mitzrayim? In the Yalkut, it brings down the following justification. Shechokol ha-mode b'mitzvahs ribis. If you are mode, very odd expression, if you are mode, if you admit b'mitzvahs ribis, mode b'tzias mitzrayim, you admit to tzias mitzrayim. V'chol ha-kofer b'mitzvahs ribis, if you don't believe in the mitzvahs ribis, kofer b'tzias mitzrayim. Extremely difficult expression. What does it mean, admit to mitzvahs ribis or not to admit to mitzvahs ribis? What does it have to do, and what does it have to do with Egypt? So it's a very difficult problem, and one of the meforshim comes up with such a far-fetched answer. It's called the same called the Hadrash Vehaiyun, and he says, well, because the Egyptians gave us ribis. Why? Because the Gemara says, why were the Egyptians punished? They owed it to us from Avram Avinu, that Hashem said to Avram Avinu that his descendants will be afflicted by the Gentiles. So they owed it to us. So why were they punished? So the Midrash says, because they overdid it. That was, they could have made us be slaves without afflicting us. So they overdid it. So what is their punishment? Because they gave us ribis. That was more than what they owe us. Oh, so that's the relation. So if you recognize that God took us out of Egypt and punished the Egyptians because ribis is also if so, giving ribis is to be also. Hadrash Ve'o'inu is called. My angel Torah brings it down. But it's a very famous drush sefer. Hadrash Ve'o'inu. But of course, the difficulties are obvious. First of all, the Egyptians are Gentiles. The Gentiles are allowed to pay interest. It's very weak. But then there's a second pshat from the Ksaf Sofer. The Ksaf Sofer says a pshat. It says like this. What we are talking about is, what does it mean, do you admit to the law of ribis or not? Usually, monetary laws are the same towards a Jew and towards a Gentile. The Moshe, you're not allowed to steal from a Jew, you're not allowed to steal from a Gentile, right? You're not allowed to damage a Jew, you're not allowed to damage a Gentile. You have to pay for the damage, you have to pay for a Gentile. Here is a monetary law, right, that differentiates between Jew and Gentile. It tells you, from a Jew, don't take interest. From a Goy, you should take interest. So that is something which is very, very difficult to understand. Memonisha. If stealing is bad, so it's bad for it to steal from anybody. So if taking interest is bad, so it's bad to take from anybody.
It's a hoax. It's not bad to take interest. It's a hoax. In other words,
Memonisha. So what are you saying? No, it's not bad. If it's not bad, why should I take from a fellow Jew?
Is that it's a hoax that you have to do a certain tzedakah.
Of course, it's a hoax.
Towards a Jew, you're not required to go so far by a guy.
Why? Why from a Jew? Yes, because we are one up. So it's not really that, meaning stealing is corrupt, right? Killing is corrupting. If it's corrupting to my soul, I'm not allowed to do it neither to a Jew nor to a Gentile. Taking interest doesn't do any harm to my soul. So why am I not allowed to take from a fellow Jew? Because we share the same father, right? We share the same experience. So we became an Am. When did the Jews become finally an Am Israel? Only after they experienced Egypt. At that point they are called Am B'nai Israel. So comes out that if you don't recognize ribis, what does it mean you don't recognize? They say no, it can't be. If the Torah says you're not allowed to take ribis, it's the same the Jew and the Gentile. If you don't recognize the differentiation, then you are denying Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is how the Ksaf Sofer learns, and that makes a lot of sense, right? Because Yetzias Mitzrayim is what makes us into one Am. And that is the reason why I'm not allowed to take ribis from you, to take interest from you. Not because there is anything wrong with taking ribis. It's because of my special obligations towards you. That's what the Ksaf Sofer says. The Ksaf Sofer says. Now, the last part of the Pasuk is Lo seis lochem eseretz knan lios lochem lelokim. I took you out from Egypt in order to give you Canaan, in order that I should be your God. Now, the order is very difficult, because the simple interpretation of the Posuk is that what? When did God become the God of Israel? The simple interpretation of the last portion of the Posuk. Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Yotzei Etzrichem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Period. Esnachto. Period. Lo seis lochem eseretz Canaan, lios lochem lelokim. Isn't there here some kind of a hint that when does God become your God? Only when?
Israel.
Only in Israel. Only in Israel. Once you come to Eretz Canaan, then I can be your God. So Rashi brings down the following. Rashi brings down Asher Loseis Lochem Eretz Canaan, Lios Lochem Elohim, Shekol Hador Beretz Israel, Ani Lo Lelokim. I'm only your God as long as you're in Israel. And if you leave Israel, as if you're worshipping idols. Now, the Gemara in Ksuvos doesn't say what Rashi says. An interesting thing here. The Gemara in Ksuvos just says like this. Kol hador be'eretz Israel kemi sheyesh lo eloka. It's as if he is a God. V'chol hador bechutz lo'aretz, right? Kemisha ain lo loka. It's as if he has no God. Right. Veze mashe omar be David. So Peter didn't bring the Gemara. David Amelach, it says like this. When he was forced to leave Israel, you know, he was persecuted by the king. Right. So he was forced to leave Israel. So he says, you forced me to leave God. So what does it mean? And more. And to worship idols. Says the Gemara, Wachas Visholem, when David HaMelech left Eretz Israel and went to Chutz Loretz, he started worshipping idols. Elo, kol hador beretz Israel kemi sheyesh lo loka, kol hador bechutz loretz kemi sheein lo loka.
What did he say again, David?
He brings down the Gemara Ksuvos, but the only half. So, but anyway, the next part is David HaMelech. David HaMelech says that you forced me to leave Israel to go to Chutz Loretz and to worship idols. Says the Gemara, what does it mean? David HaMelech was forced to worship idols. But the moment he left Israel, it's as if he worshipped idols. That's what the Gemara says. Now, the Rambam in Hilchos Melochim brings it down, but with a difference. It's in Hilchos Melochim. Hilchos Melochim, Perek Hey, fifth chapter of Hilchos Melochim. Rambam brings down Halachim Yudbet. Le'oilom Yidor Odom Beretz Israel. I mean, this is still a quote from the Gemara. Be'ir sherubo aku. Even if the majority of the people in your city are Gentiles, right? You should rather live in Eretz Israel. Ve'al yidor bechutz loretz avafilu be'ir sherubo Israel. And you shouldn't live in outside of Israel, even in a city that the majority is Jewish. Why? Shekol hayotze lechutz loretz kilu oved avodazore. Because if you leave Israel, it's as if you worshipped idols. Shenemar. Now, interesting. He doesn't bring our pasuk, even though the Gemara does, but he brings down the second pasuk of David HaMelech. Shenemar. Ki gershuni hayom. Today you kicked me out. You.
Where's this pasuk?
Gershuni. This is a pasuk in Melochi. Ki gershuni. David HaMelech says you caused me. Right. Lemor lecha vod Elohim achirim. You told me to worship idols.
Is this the same pasuk as the Gemara?
The same Gemara. But for some reason, the Rambam skips our pasuk and brings the pasuk of David HaMelech, which is odd, number one. And the second question is, and that's the question that Torah Tmimo asks also, the Gemara in Ksuvos only says the one who lives in Israel is as if he has a God, and if he lives outside of Israel, it's as if he has no God. It doesn't say anything about leaving Israel. The Rambam brings it down as if it's a prohibition for somebody who already lives in Israel, he shouldn't leave Israel.
The Rambam says.
The Rambam. The Rambam doesn't mention about, the Rambam brings down this part, says like this.
Doesn't it say leaving Israel?
He says live, but he says why? But the Gemara doesn't say whoever leaves Israel is as if you're worshipping idols.
It's the same question on Rashi, right?
The same question you have on Rashi also. That all of a sudden Rashi is talking about leaving Israel. You hear?
So Rambam says you shouldn't live in Chutz La'aretz.
Don't live in Chutz La'aretz, because whoever leaves Israel is kilo with Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, that's what the Rambam says.
That's what the Rambam says.
So in
the Gemara does not say that.
So according to Rambam, if you're born in Chutz La'aretz, then you're not kilo with Avodah Zarah.
Exactly. But according to the Gemara, it has nothing to do with leaving Israel. It's living in Chutz La'aretz that makes you like kilo with Avodah Zarah.
People don't visit here.
Why?
So because some people are mafid not to visit Israel.
Because not to leave, in order not to leave. I don't know. First of all, this is not a halochet. It's an eitzotovo. You'll see it from the Rambam. It's an eitzotovo. It's an advice. It's not a halochet. The halochet is clear, as we are going to see, that you are allowed to. But we'll see right away. Anyway.
So Rashi says that even living in Chutz La'aretz is essentially that.
No. Rashi here also says, because you're not allowed to leave Israel. It's not a matter of
What's the difference between Rashi and the Rambam?
No, it's the same. Rashi is like the Rambam. But neither of them is like the Gemara. Right? Neither of them is like the Gemara. So the Torah Tmimo correctly remarks that there is no question about it, that there was a different text that the Rambam had in the Gemara. That is no question about it. And I saw, for instance, the Kesef Mishneh.
And
Rashi also. That the Gemara really has two parts that by mistake was reprinted. Right? By mistake, it's a common thing. That really the Gemara says two things. The Gemara says like this. You are supposed to live in Israel. Don't live outside of Israel. How do we know it? From the Pasuk in the Torah. Right? Besides that, you are not allowed to leave Israel. And that we learn out from the Pasuk by David HaMelech. You hear the two different sources.
No.
Our posuk here in Chumash doesn't say anything about leaving Israel. It's talking about the relative importance of living in Eretz Israel vis-a-vis living in outside of Israel. However, the posuk by David HaMelech is a case of his leaving Israel. Okay? So in the Gemara, the original version that became changed by mistake was, in the first part of the Gemara, it was Le'olam yidor odom be'eretz Yisrael, right? And what is the source for that you should rather live in Israel over outside of Israel? Our posuk. Then there is a second part. And also don't leave Israel. What is the source for that? David HaMelech. In other words, it's two statements with two sources, with two halachas. By the printer, it became mixed up. The printer of the Gemara took the statement of the original Lo'ilam Yidor Odom Be'eretz Yisrael, applied it to the second posuk, but that was a mistake. The Rambam had the right version, Rashi had the right version, okay? And if we pay attention to the Yalkut Shimoni, says the Torah Tmimo, that's exactly the version it appears in the Yalkut Shimoni. So there's no question about it, it's a mistake in print in the Talmud Bavli. But what am I telling you all this for? I'm telling you all this because one thing nobody pays attention to. Where does the Gemara get, and the Rambam follows the Gemara, where does it say in the Torah, even if the majority is Gentile, stay in Israel? How do we know that? That's, maybe the Torah is talking, everything else being equal, stay in Israel. Right? From the Torah you have no proof, even if the majority is Gentile, stay in Israel rather than outside of Israel, right? Where does the Gemara get such a thing?
Rambam.
What? The Gemara. The Rambam follows the Gemara. The
Gemara says that?
The Gemara says it.
Oh, the Gemara says it.
The Gemara says it. Where does the Gemara get it? Right? Yeah.
I forget which one of the Arvot it was, but one of them went out to Mitzrayim because there was a in the land.
Oh, yeah, so
proper.
Yeah, so
he wasn't allowed to leave even though he was the only one.
Oh, so
where's the Gemara? Okay. So this?
Kuf Yud Omed Bet.
Kuf Yud
Omed Bet. Now.
And the Pasuk by David?
David, I don't know. Milochim, but I don't know.
Bring it down.
So, Pshat is like this. The other thing, again, that nobody pays attention to is, what is the relation between that and Ribis? Why would the Pasuk tell you such a nice advice? Live in Israel, because your relationship with God is closer in Israel. I mean, that's really all it means. That somehow, outside of Israel, your relationship to God is not so clear, right? It's like many people say, like the Marsho brings down, that outside of Israel, you have other influences, because you know that the relationship between God and the Jews is straight. The relationship between God and other nations is through what's called the Sorim. Sorim Mal, in other words, God oversees what's going in Italy, whatever that means, not directly, but through a Tsar. There is a special angel that's in charge of a nation.
Even
right?
The Yidden in...
So even the Yidden, right, have a relationship with certain Sorim. Why should you go through Sorim when you can go directly? So for that you have to come to Israel. That's what, like, what the Marsho brings down. Whatever it is, it doesn't actually mean that you're actually worshiping idols. It means that you are not as close to God as you are supposed to be, and you have a chance to be closer to God. That's what it means.
Maybe that's
what
it's being over about Zarar if you're living in Kosar.
Yeah, it doesn't mean actually being over. It means that you are less close to God. You have an intermediary. Doesn't mean that you're actually being over, that you're actually transgressing a law. It means that you're not as close to God because you have an intermediary outside of Eretz Israel. And again, and we said, what is the relationship with Ribis? Point is like this. You know how the Gemara learned Pshat in the Pasuk. You see, the Pasuk says like this. Do es kaspecho lo yisiten lo b'neshech. Don't give your money in interest. Right? Now, the truth of the matter is that giving money on interest is a very easy way to make money. Once you have reached a certain level of wealth, you can live on the interest. But let's say, theoretically, maybe it's possible. So a person will say, yes, but I'm in big trouble. I live among Jews, so I have no chance to make money. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go, right, to outside of Israel, let's say, right? And make money. So, right? Or even the other way around. The point is like this. You see, if I live in Israel, right? And I say like this. Well, in Israel, all my neighbors are Gentile, right? What's better? What would the Torah rather have you do? Live among Jews or live among Gentiles? Obviously, live among Jews. Because with a fellow Jew, you have certain responsibilities. What is the proof that you have certain responsibilities over the Jew that you don't have over the Gentiles? Ribis. Ribis is the perfect example of something that differentiates your relationship to a Jew and your relationship to a Gentile. Okay? So you might come to the conclusion that what? That it's better to live outside of Israel among Jews, right? You know, Ribis will give you the hint that it's better to live outside of Israel among Jews than in Israel among Gentiles, because Ribis is the halacha that differentiates between your relationship to Jews and your relationship to Gentiles. This is why the Torah tells you the halacha by Ribis. That even though Ribis would indicate that your main concern is who your neighbors are, still be'eretz Knan be'oreisom elokecho, you shall still stay in Israel. So from that the Gemara derives, we must be talking about a situation, right, where you have to take a choice. You have to make a choice. I live outside of Israel among Jews or in Israel among Gentiles. What does the Torah say? Still stay in Israel. Oh, that's how the Gemara knew we are talking about a situation that your choice was either stay in Israel among Gentiles or outside of Israel among Jews. This is the connection between Ribis and the halacha of staying in Israel.
That's all in the Torah, man.
The Torah is a part of it, isn't it, in the Torah? Now, another
So Vilevsky said that Rambam was giving us an eight to twelve, not halacha.
Oh, yeah. Let me just, you know that the Rambam right before it's in this halacha, it's Perikay. Now in Periktes, he tells you clearly, when aren't you allowed to leave Israel? It says Osir Losis Meretz Yisrael Lechutz Loretz. Elo, except Lilmo Torah. You're allowed to leave in order to learn Torah.
What does that mean?
Learn Torah means you're gonna, you feel better about learning Torah, you learn better, you feel more comfortable. Right? Anything that's related to learning Torah. Or you're gonna get a better teacher, like the Moshe said, the people left from the Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Oh, Liso Isho. Right? You want to get married, so you think that over there you'll be able to get married. Oy lehatzel min ho'akum. That's already pikuach nefesh.
That's
poshet. Vechein yoytzehu lischoiro, or to do business. Okay.
It says you can leave for business.
For vechein yoytzehu lischoiro. Avol, listen to this. Vafal pi shemuter, even though it's permitted. Eino midas chasidus. Not a mias chasidus to leave for business.
Just business or all of them?
Business. Because here it goes on to say, business in Avos, you need, business means parnose. Was a proof. Sheharei machloin vechilioin, because the two sons of Elimelech, remember in Megillas Rus, machloin vechilioin, shnei gdole hador hoyu, they were such a great people. Ubnipnei tzoro gdoilo yotsu, and they went out from Israel because there was a problem with Parnose. Venishaibu klio lemokim, you say that they died. So you see that it's not a midas chasidos.
When? How does the Rambam bring down a midas chasidos?
Why not? The Rambam?
Isn't that
unusual? No, it's not unusual at all. Very often he tells you what the halacha is. It is midas chasidos, usually like towards the end of the halacha, he tells you what the midas chasidos is.
So, right? Just because Machlan Achillion didn't do a midas chasidos, they died?
That's why he says Gdolei, since they were so great, at their level, they are even judged for midas chasidos. And then he goes on. Gdolei achachomim, again, some people, very special people, express their love for Eretz Yisrael even more, not only by not leaving. When they came to Eretz Yisrael, they used to kiss the ground. What's the Rambam telling us? It means, at a lower level, right, your love for Eretz Yisrael should be expressed only by not leaving Eretz Yisrael, right? But at a higher level, you express it even with by kissing the stones of Eretz Yisrael. Omru Chachomi, there's a special school in Eretz Yisrael for Mechilas Avoinos. Even working Arba Amos. Obviously, he's telling you the miles, the special miles of Eretz Yisrael, right? For people who know how to use it. He's not telling you Aloha. The Aloha finished, right? Etc., etc. And on then he says, Le Oilo Midr Odom Eretz Yisrael. So obviously he's telling you here, beyond the halacha. The halacha is you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, but you should know that when you leave Eretz Yisrael, afilo lischoiro, right? Even to do schoiro, Ram doesn't say, but I'm telling you.
The answer, then he says the
avodah zarah. That's right. The end. In other words, it's midas chasidus not to go out even when you're allowed to midas chasidus. Why? Because kilo with avodah zarah, because your relationship to God can be so close.
Okay. So but if you leave for what's mutter, so then all these latter clauses don't even come into effect.
Yes, it does. That's the whole point of the Rambam is saying. Even though lehalok you're allowed to leave.
He just on business.
Yes, but then it goes on to say, and there's a midas chasidus about staying in Eretz Yisrael altogether because you are closer to God. That itself, what the Rambam is telling you.
Talking about a situation where not including when you leave for Torah or for getting married.
Because in before it says Osur Lotzis Meretz Yisrael Lechutz Loretz. It's Osur. It doesn't give you any reasons, nothing, because you don't have a God. That's Halacha. And the exceptions of the Halacha is this and this and this and this and this. And then it goes on to give you the Midas Chasidus, the special union of loving Eretz Yisrael, Kilo Elo Eloka. That's all the part of Midas Chasidus, advice, not of Halacha.
The Rebbe himself left Eretz Yisrael.
Of course.
Why?
Because you had to do business. You needed a job.
He wasn't on the level of Midas Chasidus? Sure.
What do you mean? Because Midas Chasidus has to be weighed, right, against his responsibility for his family. what is going to, you know, what if he's going to be able to do
Rabbi
more for Eretz
Yisrael. He wasn't enough of Midas Chassidus to stay in Eretz Yisrael.
I mean, Midas Chassidus says to be judged with other things. I mean, Haloche is Haloche. Midas Chassidus says to be judged.
There's a lot of Midas Chassidus.
There's no question about it, but he's a responsibility towards Klal Yisrael, right? He's a responsibility towards his knowledge, towards his family, probably, to support his family in Eretz Yisrael. At his time, it was almost impossible to make a parnasa. Right? So at a certain point, he's allowed to leave. Okay, now I want to go on to the the last few psukim, the last two psukim of the parsha. Loisasu lochem elilim ufeshlo matzevo loisokimu. Loisasu lochem elilim ufeshlo matzevo loisokimu. Now, don't make yourself idols. Very, very difficult, because the subject here is all about Geulas Eretz Yisrael, Shemitah, Yovel, the responsibilities of Geula, of redemption of land. All of a sudden, don't make yourself idols. Right? So Rashi is very strongly bothered by it. Why all of a sudden he tells you not to make yourself idols? Says Rashi like this. The last subject discussed in the Torah is when a person sells himself to a Gentile. Right.
What do you mean, less of it?
The last subject. The last subject. The whole parsha is like the Chazal said.
Right before chapter
26. The last subject discussed is if a person sells himself to a Gentile. We're talking about a person who is poor. So first he sells his property. At the end he sells himself to a Gentile. So there is a chiyuv to redeem it. So now, since we are discussing that situation when a Jew has to work for the Gentile, and the Gentile is the boss, he's the master, and the Jew is a worker, right? Says Rashi that automatically that difference in status that's created by me being a worker by the Gentile, the difference in status creates idol worship. What kind of idol worship? Doesn't mean actual idol worship. It creates that idol worship of imitating someone you respect. If your boss, for instance, doesn't keep Shabbos, it's natural that you start thinking, so maybe it's not so important to keep Shabbos. Rashi said it. It sounds not so much not like Rashi. That's how Rashi learns Pshat in the Pasuk. Loisasu lochem elilim. Don't make yourself idols in the way in America we use the word idol. An idol, somebody you respect, somebody you look up to. That's what Rashi says over here. Keneged ze anim kar lenochri. Shelo yoimar. Hoil verabi megale arayos. Oh, my successful boss, right? He's all kinds of mistresses and everything. So, I mean, that's the good life. Maybe I should also imitate it. He goes worshiping this and this idol. I should also do it. That's what the Torah means. The Torah doesn't mean actually worshiping idols. Don't worship your master. Don't worship success, says Rashi. That's what the Torah means over here.
Why would Rashi say, in reference to a goy hail of a Rebbe, Mechalel Shabbos? A goy cast Mechalel Shabbos?
Doesn't matter. The idea is, I want to imitate him. Mm-hmm. For me, my imitating is a Chilul Shabbos, but I'll do it. Because you see, successful people don't keep Shabbos. Right? Mm-hmm. That's how Rashi learns the Pshat over here. Now, the other interesting thing is the last posuk. The last pasuk, which is pasuk bet in chapter 26, doesn't fit at all with the subject we've been discussing. Eshapsoisai tishmoru, keep my Sabbath, umikdoshi tiro, and keep my Beis Hamikdash, and fear my Beis Hamikdash. That has nothing to do with anything. What all of a sudden we're talking about Shabbos, right?
Yeah, according to Rashi's pshat, it falls on beautifully.
How? I mean, eshapsoisai tishmoru, umikdoshi tiro.
Don't imitate your boss.
Don't make
yourself
an
elilim. Keep my
sharpness. Okay. Alright. Okay. The Ibn Ezra has a very ingenious pshat. He says like this. What is the main subject of the whole parsha? Shmita of Yovel. Shmita of Yovel is the whole thing. Right? Once we are discussing Yovel, the return of the land, we also discuss a person selling land because he's poor and your obligations towards him, but the subject is Shmita of Yovel. Now, Shemitah is called Shabbos, Shabbos Shabboso, right? If you take a look at the beginning of the parasha, Shemitah, the Torah describes it as Shabbos Shabboso, the Sabbath once in 7 years, right? And how does the Torah describe Yovel? And when it comes the 50th year, Kodosh v'kidashtem mishnas ha-chamishim. Mikdosh. So he says like this. Eshapsoi sai tishmoro, keep my shmitos. O mikdoshi tiro, and from the yovel you should be afraid to transgress.
It doesn't really fit with mikdash, with Shabbos, yeah.
That's my mikdosh. Well, the yovel is my mikdash.
What was the pasuk of yovel called mikdash? That was pasuk.
In many of them, but I'm just choosing Chofei pasuk yud, for instance. Ukidash mesas hamishi. Right.
Chofei pasuk.
Or pasuk yud base. Ki yovel hi kodesh ti elokim. The word kodesh is used many times by pasuk yud, pasuk yud bet. Right. This is the Ibn Ezra. But let me tell you, the Ramban. The Ramban says a few words that are very intriguing, I mean, very odd in the beginning, but let me tell you what it means. The Ramban brings down the problem, what does Shabbos and Mikdosh have to do with the whole parsha? So the Ramban says the reason is Perusho, like you were saying, that we are talking about Shabbos, Shizor, Boen, Ho, Even, Hanim, Karli, Goy. That we are talking about a Jew, we sold to a Gentile, keep Shabbos, even though it's very difficult. Umoyre Hamikdosh, why is the base Hamikdosh mentioned? Because when you're working by the Gentile will give you a hard time if you want to take off in order to come to Regolim to Yerushalayim. So you should know, come to Regolim also. Right? So this is how the Ramban brings down the Pshat. That we are talking about the Jew is working for the Gentile, that even though keeping Shabbos is very difficult, he should still keep Shabbos. Even though coming Beregolim to Yerushalayim is difficult, he should still come. And then he adds like this. V'hu hadin lechol ha-mitzvahs, but of course you have to keep all the mitzvahs. Avol hiskir eile, so if it goes on all the mitzvahs, why would only these two mitzvahs, this is the most important mitzvah, Shabbos and Beis Hamikdash? So he says, Shekol HaMitzvos Bichlal HaShabbos VeHamikdash. Shabbos and Beis Hamikdash include all the mitzvahs in the Torah. VeHamaskil Yove. If you are maskil, if you have a lot of sechel, you understand what I mean, and that's all. Stops. That's all. What else? Shabbos and Mikdash.
It's fairly clear. I mean, Shabbos is Bris Adam, Mikdash is Shalosh Regalim, which is, he says, was right.
Why is Mikdash?
Because all the Shalosh Regalim are a direct result of Yisrael's Mitzrayim. It's Pesach, yeah. Shavuos, and Sukkos.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you keep Shabbos, you're being motivated to Hashem as the Bara Olam. And if you keep Shalosh Regalim, then you're still being motivated to the fact that you are still a Jew, you're still part of Klal Yisrael, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim is also Yisrael.
I hear, but it's not really Mikdosh. There is something to what you're saying, but let me tell you, the Ramban himself in many places says that the world, the totality of God's creation includes Oilom, Shono, Nefesh. In the Ramban, it's already Midrashim, it's mentioned. Oilom, Shono, Nefesh, which means that Oilom means the world, space. Oilom means the space. Shono means time. Nefesh means the human being. That's all that God created. Oilom, Shono, Nefesh.
Three elements of creation?
Three elements of creation. Space, time, and man. That's it. So it says that the Ramban explains that it's mentioned in many other places. When Hashem created the world, He created both things. He created Zman, right? And He created the world, the physical world, space. Zman, time, and He created space. In other words, we believe that time is not infinitely old. As opposed, like the Moreh Nevuchim says to Aristotle, that he believed that the world is eternally old, we believe that in the beginning there was nothing. There was neither space nor there was time. Okay? Hashem created space and time together. And in the same split second that when He created the world, He created space and He created time. So He was beyond time. Within space and time, He created men to live in a world of space and time. Okay? Why is it so important that we should believe that Hashem created space and Hashem created time? Because Otherwise, there would be no kedusha in Zman. The fact that the Zman can be kodosh is because it's a result of God's creation. If the world, if time would be as old as God, then time wouldn't be something that God created. So there couldn't be a kedusha in Zman. There would be no holiness in Zman. The same thing is with space. Right? The essence of kedusha in space is because God created space. That's why there is kedusha in space, which is a sign of God's relationship to space. He created space. Now, what is the symbol of kedusha sazman?
Shabbos.
Now, Shabbos represents kedusha sazman. Now, the fact that there is a Shabbos tells us that God created time, because if He wouldn't create a time, Shabbos wouldn't exist. Right? The fact that there is a Shabbos tells us that there is a God who created us. What is the example, the essence, the symbol of kedusha sazman? The fact that God created space. Beis HaMikdash comes out. If God wouldn't have created space, there couldn't be a Beis HaMikdash, because there would be no kedusha in space, right? So comes out that the idea that God created the world and He created us, and therefore we are obligated to Him, stems from the fact that there is a Shabbos. In other words, that God created space. I mean, time, and that there is a Beis HaMikdash. Comes out that Kol HaTorah Kulo is based on the Kedusha Sazman and Kedusha Samokoy. That's the Shabbos and that's the Mikdash. That's what the Ramban means. The Kol HaTorah Kulo is included in Shabbos and Beis HaMikdash. So not like the Ibn Ezra. I mean, it's not following the Ibn Ezra. Shabbos means Shabbos. The day Shabbos. That is the source of all Kedushas of all Zmanim. The Beis HaMikdash is the source of all Kedushas in space. Right? Like the Gemara says. The Gemara says, where does the Kedusha of all the Bote Knesios in the world come from? Mikdash Me'at. Everybody stems. So this is what the Ramban brings.
It's quite random, these two are mentioned here to remind you of all mitzvahs when you're in the hand of a God.
Right. But the idea is, why do these two represent all the mitzvahs? Because these two are all the mitzvahs.
Shemitah
draws its Kedusha from Shabbos. Yontev draws its Kedusha from Shabbos. Beis HaKnesses draws its Kedusha from Mikdash. Right? And the Gemara says, eventually, all the Bote Knesios in the world will eventually go back to their source. Right? The Gemara, what does it mean? Mm-hmm. The Beis HaMikdash, we'll build the Beis HaMikdash.
Legend about the Altnoy Shul.
What?
It's a legend about the Altnoy Shul in Prague. It's called the Altnoy Shul, the Old New Shul. But the Darshan, it is called the Altanai Shul.
Altanai.
Because they say that they built it with a stone that was taken from the second base of Mikdash that was schlepped right the way through Europe, because it's an incredibly old shul, and it was built Altanai, that when the third base of Mikdash is rebuilt, they'll have to demolish it and take the stone back.
That's very interesting. Shemitah relates to space also, the Kedusha of space. Because if it wasn't for the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, you wouldn't...
Shemitah is a combination of both Kedushas. Shemitah is a combination of both.
Both Yovel and Shemitah are specifically mitzvahs that are specifically time and space.
Time and space, a combination of both. So you want to put together the Ibn Ezra with the Ramban. You know, it's the Ibn Ezra that says Shemitah and Yovel, because both are the combination of both.
The only question is Shemitah is more Shabbat, on the Shabbat side, the way the parallel works, and Yovel is more on the Makom side, the way the language works.
Why? Because Yovel, I'm not sure.
Yovel returns possessions.
So it has to do more with space.
Mokum, yeah.
Mokum, that's the Mikdosh, you mean. That's why it's more Mikdosh. And Shemitah makes a lot of sense.
I heard once in the Avodah Zarah involved in being an Eved to a Goy, is that once you're an Eved to a Goy, he can make you do anything. So he's going to get you working on making his Avodah Zarah.
Yeah.
So which requires a much more direct shat than Rashi's saying. Since Rashi always wants the simplest shat, why doesn't he say something like that?
Wait a minute, what does Rashi say concerning why is it
called
Avodah Zarah?
He says because you'll end up admiring your successful master.
Oh, you mean in the Pasuk? Yeah.
Yeah.
Then so, what are you saying?
The master will tell you, carve me a getchka, build me a cathedral.
That's not as dangerous. If you are forced to do it, it's not as dangerous. I think Rashi is better. Because of your respect for him, you'll develop that attitude. Uh-huh. So.